I just want to highlight that one of the things we really want to take a little time this morning that you frankly want to hear from us is a discussion of the Fifth Circuit case in McCoy. I think we've got some interesting insights with regard to that. So with those comments in mind, David, I'll turn it over to you.
Sure. Thank you. I prepared the materials some time ago, and I actually gave this presentation in Dallas at the DFW Chapter 13 Trustees Seminar last fall. If you were there, I apologize. This is a repeat, but it's kind of a new and improved materials. And like Judge said, I think that Eddie has got something. Eddie Rodriguez has something for us that's really going to help us. And so we're going to hit some of the high points early as far as discharging unsecured taxes, and then we're going to stop and talk about McCoy, which is the big Fifth Circuit case dealing with late filed returns. We're going to stop and talk about that, and if there's enough time, we'll resume the slide presentation and go forward and try to wrap it up. In my materials, we're talking about the general elements of dischargeability for income taxes only. And we want to show how to read the IRS account transcripts to determine dischargeability of income tax liabilities, and how to catch those taxes that will be unsecured but non-dischargeable. Of course, we've got five rules regarding the dischargeability of unsecured income taxes. The first one is the three-year rule. I think most of you are probably familiar with most of these rules, but generally speaking, with regard to the three-year rule, a practitioner must determine when the return was actually due, including extensions, not when the return was actually filed. So you want to make sure that the petition filing date is 3 years after the due date of that return.